We're talking today with Dr. Jeff Edwards, State Extension Wheat Specialist, Oklahoma State University. Jeff, we're right now in the middle of planting this wheat crop for 2015. I think USDA has probably got us pegged when this next report comes out in the next day or so, 60% or maybe a little bit more of the crop already planted. Does it surprise you that we've gotten that much of the crop in the ground, maybe more of a dual purpose concern or compared to just wheat only?
Well, it does surprise me a little bit. We're certainly well ahead of where we've been the past few years. It's still fairly dry out there, and to see that much planted does surprise me a little bit. But again, I think it's all driven by the cattle market. We're short on pasture. We're going to need some place for those stocker cattle to move, and wheat pasture is the obvious place to get them there. We do some of that wheat that was planted in early September. We still had a little bit of moisture hanging around back when it was sown. A lot of that is up. So we do have a good start on wheat pasture. So if we can get a little bit of rain to keep that going, I think we're going to have quite a bit of forage out there in Oklahoma this year.
So if indeed we're able to keep those rains coming on, a semi-regular basis, that gives us potential for some pretty good pasture, right?
It does. I think farmers have done a decent job with fertility. We got the wheat crop in there early. But as you mentioned, what we really need right now, it's a critical time for rain. We need rain right now to keep that early sown wheat crop going. And we need a rain right now to get our grain-only wheat into the ground. We're just starting to get into that grain-only planting season. Not time to hit the panic button yet. We're just starting that planting window. But we really need some rain in the next week to 10 days to really get that grain-only crop in the ground and going.
With the memories of 2014 hanging on for these wheat producers, a 50 million bushel wheat crop when normally we ought to be producing well over 100 million bushels, that kind of leaves a scar almost on the minds and what these guys are thinking about when it comes to wheat.
It does, and it kind of makes you a little gun-shy about investing in this next year's crop. But for me, the take-home message is there are a few things that are the foundation of a good wheat crop, and you have to step out there and make that investment in genetics and fertility. So planting quality seed of a good variety, that's essential if you're going to make a crop. The other thing is soil fertility, looking at phosphorus, nitrogen, things like that we need in the soil. But if we do have producers that are maybe still a little gun-shy about that initial outlay of money, one thing they could do is go ahead and put that crop in the ground, pull a soil test right now to get a handle on how much nitrogen is out there. With a failed crop last year, there's probably a lot more than what they think, anywhere from 50 to maybe 100 pounds per acre. That's certainly enough to get a crop going. And then if they put out a nitrogen-rich strip, they can use the sensor-based system next spring. So essentially, they can delay that large outlay for nitrogen fertilizer until next spring. If they take those steps this fall, they don't cost much money, just a little bit of time. But if they make those steps now, they can delay that investment, which is, when you're in touch-and-go situation, as we are right now with weather, and moisture, that's huge to be able to delay that cost until you know you have a stand, you know what kind of crop you're looking at.
Walk through, I think a lot of our folks understand the enriched strips, but explain those and really, give me an idea of why these are so valuable.
Well, they're valuable because they do allow you to delay some of that investment. It allows you to make a more wise purchase of nitrogen because it allows you to determine how much the crop actually needs. The crop tells you how much it needs rather than you basing that off of tradition or what you've always done. And the way that is done is by creating a small area in the field. It could be as small as, say, 20 by 100 feet. And you create an area where nitrogen is not limiting. And you can do that by putting out a 2X rate or 1.5X rate of what you would normally apply. So if you normally apply 100 pounds units of nitrogen, you would put an area with 150 or 200 units, an extra pass with the anhydrous rig, a pass with the buggy. So you put that out this fall, and then you monitor it throughout the winter, just like you would if it stands out next spring, like cowpox in a field that have been grazed. Then, okay, obviously you're in a situation where nitrogen is limiting that crop, and you probably need to apply a little more than you normally would. If you walk out next spring and you can't find that nitrogen-rich strip other than the flag marking where it is, then clearly nitrogen may not be the limiting factor out there, and it's a year where maybe you could back off a little bit. If you want to take it up to the next level and use a handheld sensor, and our county agents, our county extension educators all have access to these handheld instruments. They're only about $500 if you want to purchase one yourself. You can use that and a website that we have and use a computer-generated recommendation to become even more precise than you would just with the eyeball method. So the eyeball method is valuable. If you use the handheld sensor, it makes you even more precise. And again, the whole key is identifying those years where a little bit of additional nitrogen will give you a good return on investment versus the years where maybe you could back off, or maybe no nitrogen at all, no additional nitrogen at all is required. So it's just more information to help you make those decisions.
When it comes to acreage this year, what are you looking at? Are we going to be probably close to recent norms, I guess you might say?
We've been hovering around that 5.2 million acre mark for several years now. I think a lot of it depends on how much rain we get during October. If we get a few timely rainfalls during October, I think we could be back up to that 5.5 million acre mark where we used to be, maybe a little bit more, 5.6 million acres as those grain-only acres go in. But we're going to need a few rains here in October to make that happen.
Management practices as far as our producers are concerned, what are you recommending right now? As let's say they've gotten the crop into the ground, or they're virtually ready to, and they've made all the decisions there. Past planting, what do we need to do?
Well, we need to monitor weeds and insect pests. Insect pests such as armyworms, they can really devastate some of that early sown crop. If temperatures stay cool, that lessens the likelihood of that being a problem, but it's important to monitor that. The other thing we need to do is control weeds, and let's control them early. When a few years ago, the weed science team at Oklahoma State did a study looking at fall versus spring control of Italian ryegrass. And what they found was that we can still control Italian ryegrass if we spray it in February or March with the product of choice would be Axial XL at that time. But there was a 6.6 bushel per acre difference between fall control and spring control. So we could still control the weeds in the spring, but it was kind of a revenge killing. The damage had been done. 6 bushels per acre, that's a big difference. So as those weeds emerge this fall, we've got to get out there and get a handle on those and get those controlled while they're still small, they're still easy to kill, and before they have used any moisture, before they have used any of our nitrogen or any of our other resources that should be there for the wheat crop. Let's take them out early.